Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by the Dungeon Cast, the podcast where hosts Will and Brian talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons and teach you how to play the game, learn the lore behind every monster or deity throughout the D&D multiverse, or how to build incredible characters to explore the worlds of D&D. Passively gather knowledge to become a dungeon master and receive countless tips and tricks on how to create your own world and weave a story the likes of which will have your players clamoring for more. So what are you waiting for? Check out the Dungeon Cast and learn about dragons, demons, magic, and other super cool D&D stuff now. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get your podcasts or on YouTube, or check the show notes for the links. This ad is brought to you by the Demogorgon, Lord and Ruler of the Dungeon Cast, and greatest and most undisputed powerful demon lord in the known cosmos. Shout out to Demogorgon, and all praise Demogorgon. You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Previously on Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
I say, I can't see!
You open your mouth, it fills with water.
Look, trying to talk underwater, classic Big T move.
You see the massive dent and damage that the hammer dealt to the golem? It pops back into place and looks as good as new.
What?
This isn't allowed. You're not allowed to do this.
Do you still, as a reef shark, quotation marks, hold your breath?
What? I'm in the water, aren't I?
Yeah. So are you going to be... Do sharks breathe air or water?
Water.
Water. They got gills.
All right. So you're letting your gills work?
I don't like this, Adam.
Using your gills? First you cough up a lot of water, then you say...
I can't see!
Maybe it's for if you sit down and have a fight.
Maybe. And I don't know much about dwarves, to be honest.
Sit down,
especially
fight.
These ones.
A novel concept.
Well, I guess, if anyone else wants to make a note of these, otherwise we just, head back through those doors.
As you're walking back, Yeola and Chantel have a very intense discussion about the pros and cons of a sit-down fight. Yeola is coming down hard pro, Chantel is coming down hard negative.
I'll just also just do a sneaky cure wounds level one on myself.
You recover 4 hit points.
Okay.
You just want to sit down when you fight, don't you?
I think it's a good idea.
I mean, like it depends. Is it more of a competition, like a wrestling thing, or is it more of a serious thing, like a genuine strategy?
Competitor is polite, they'll let you have a sit down fight. It rhymes, so it must be true.
I mean, if it's more like a sport, I think it definitely has some merits.
I think you'd have to use very long weapons because otherwise your knees would get in the way. And I feel like if it's a sit down fight, it's very rude to hit someone in the knees. I think you'd have a big set of different skills.
The only unfair fight is a fight that you lose, Chantal says.
That's a very good point, actually. Perhaps you could tell them that they're sitting down and then just while they're sitting down.
You need to wade your way a little bit to get back past the doors because the water level has risen up. Mm. But on the other side of the doors, you can collect the control cube there if you want as well.
Cool. If we collect it, does anything happen with the water swooshing? Do we get sucked off into the...
Well, you might want to stand a bit clear because it looks like the doors are kind of working as paddles, forcing the water one direction.
Yes.
But so long as you don't stand too close, you should be fine. Who collects that control sphere?
Does any of the other the party want to grab it? If not, I will.
I've got two in one in each pocket, so I'm full up.
Big T can grab it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I got the room in my pockets.
Yeah, so you've got two, I've got one.
No, I believe they have three now.
Oh, right. Well, okay.
This one I'll just
put in the
front.
It was the original one that you got. Is the one that you just picked up now. Mm-hmm. Do you have five? How do you have five so quickly?
I think we only have one, two, three. We have four.
Four. Okay.
Okay. Onward and outward?
Yeah. You keep walking in the direction that you are. It doesn't take you very long. You go up a flight of stairs, by the way, so you're no longer underwater. Mm. You were never underwater. You're no longer in water. You go up a flight of stairs, and there is a long bridge, underground bridge, with unworked stone. It looks like there's some sort of crack or a seam in the earth. This bridge spans it. This area does not look worked. And as soon as you step out into it, you feel waves of heat crashing upon you. You look to your right and you can see there is a waterfall of lava crashing down maybe 200 feet below you. And by the light of the lava, you can see there is a stream of lava that goes underneath you. And then looking to your left, you see a giant water wheel made out of stone and metal that is slowly turning around, being pushed by the lava. In that direction, you see many pistons going up and down as well, and you can hear heavy machinery. Zia Mia goes, huh.
Huh.
She pulls at a brain worm.
Hands it to all five of us.
Yes. You see her walking across this bridge. The wheel is not moving. The lava level is much higher. The wheel is not moving, and you cannot hear sounds of heavy machinery.
Huh. I guess when we moved some things, something's happened. I am thinking, perhaps that plinth that when we were coming down, that was underwater, that we didn't do anything with, perhaps it might be worth, just while we're backtracking here, if that might have opened, say, another door that we might have missed.
Sorry, what are you saying?
I'm thinking, you know, that of those two guards, well, the liar and the... You know, got, Saren and Yeola, you saw a plinth down underneath that water?
They nod, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking while we're here, because again, we opened up that plinth, we managed to get over a control orb. I was just wondering if that might have opened something down there that we might be missing. We are collecting these orbs. We seem to have four now. It just seems might, while we're here, just see what it does.
We'll be swimming for a lot longer if we go back that way, unless we want to spend some orbs, spend a control sphere lowering the water level again back in that foundry,
the first one. Yes, I was thinking we do that and then we see what that does. That's all, just to see, because we might be missing something.
We can give it a go.
Before we just soldier on a bit further into the whatever this is.
I think it's a good idea. We should make sure we leave with all the orbs, though.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Okay.
You turn around, and when you turn around to leave, you see on where you came out, on either side of where you came out, there are two more little sockets for control spheres.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll make a note of that when we're back here. I guess we put the control spheres there. Okay.
Who's giving up a control sphere to go back the way you came?
I will.
All right. So you're back down to three control spheres. One you use quickly, obviously, just to turn off the doors. So you go into the workroom, you lower the water there, and then you come back. There were two places there to lower water. You, through testing, found that out. So you could lower the water, if you wanted to spend two, you could lower the water even further, and then where that podium is might be even even more accessible.
Okay. Well, whatever's the easiest way to do it, basically.
Okay. Well, if you gave up another control sphere, who would be giving it up?
It doesn't really matter at this point, does it?
I've got the rest.
Well, if you get separated, I just want a mental note now.
I've got
because that is a that getting separated is absolutely a possibility in this dungeon, and I want to know who has the control spheres when that happens.
I do.
We'll split it up between one. So one of us has one each kind of stuff.
Okay. So you leave two control spheres in the workroom. You lower the water about as much as you can. You walk back the way you came. It's a lot easier a walk because there's a lot less water. You get back to where you were originally, right after those two guardians. There is one more place to lower the water here. That would mean that the podium that you want to get to would be completely out of the water.
Okay, and then we have one more we can utilize on that. Yep. Yeah, we'll do that again.
All right.
Again, and they're just a bit curious to see what we need.
Okay.
If it does anything at all.
You completely expose that area. You go down the stairs. You can see the stairs going up to the two statues. And you can see, sure enough, down here, with the lights that you carry, there is a plinth sitting just kind of in the middle of nothing, it seems, in the middle of a corridor.
Okay, well, let's put our last one on.
You hear machinery working around you, and then the floor that you were on begins to lower slowly with the plinth as well. It's like an elevator. You obviously don't know what an elevator is. But you just don't know the name for what this is. But you are on an elevator moving down.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
You get down to another corridor beneath you. You must be maybe 50 feet below where you were previously.
What's the opposite of your ears popping?
The bends.
Oh, no.
You cast the light down either end, looking each way. You see one pathway ends at a stone door, and you can see... You don't see this very well, by the way. This is just at the edge of the light that you have. One pathway ends at a stone door. The other pathway just goes into darkness.
So it's a door and then a pathway, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, shall we look at the door, maybe?
Everyone kind of shrugs.
Lead the way.
Let's investigate. All right.
Do you take the control sphere?
I'm assuming if we take it, it'll elevator will go up. So no.
Okay.
It tested out.
But we take it.
Does when it, you take it, nothing happens.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. How do we get back up?
Everyone kind of shrugs. Maybe put it back in. Maybe every time it goes in, it sends us up or down.
Yeah, okay. We test that out.
Yeah. Every time it gets put in, that sends the elevator going in a direction.
All right, cool. We'll take it out and make sure that we're down below and we'll head towards the door.
You see in the side, there is one of those sockets for the control sphere. The door does not appear to have any opening mechanism that you can see.
We'll open the door.
The door swings open. And you step into a alchemical laboratory. There's, imagine like a science lab, but probably more like magical and arcane. The entire place is destroyed. You could see there used to be water in this part of the facility. This place is just destroyed. Any liquid that would have been here was probably drained away with the rest of the water.
That's probably why the water's
so yuck. Perhaps we can find some nice goodies. Never mind.
There is, on one of the tables, a golem head, just the head.
Anything else in this room? Just the column head?
Well, if you turn it over...
Yeah, I want to look at it, see if there's any hints as to how to break them.
If you turn it over, you find a lump of silver.
Ew, a lump of silver in the golem's head?
No. I don't mean turn the head over. I mean the room. If you search the room, you find a lump of silver. It looks like this was once a silver bar, and then it got melted somehow.
Oh, keep it.
Oh, silver bar. Silver. So silver has, like, magical properties in that they tend to only... With silver, it's like if a silvered weapon will do some damage to things with a magical resistance.
Some monsters, yes.
Yeah.
You don't know if a golem could be affected by silver.
Okay. Do I? Okay. So I'm like, all right, well, that's interesting that there's silver here. Okay. Interesting. Well, we'll pocket a clump of silver.
Does it look like the... Like something happened to the bar or that someone was melting it for use?
Big T, if you look at it really closely, it looks like a pile of silver coins that got melted. You can make out, you can still make out like the distinguishing individual coins in the lump.
Oh, I don't know if this is on purpose.
this does not look intentional. It looks merely like a bundle of coins that got melted over the years in whatever was in this room.
Don't put your coins near lava, I guess.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Did you know that our sister show, Plumbing the Death Star, is going to be in London for 1 week only this month? Check out sanspantsradio.com/events for the dates and to grab your tickets. I can only assume tickets are in fact flying out the door and have sold out, and we are not worried that ticket sales are low and are still available. Once again, sanspantsradio.com/events to grab your tickets to our sold out shows. Tickets may be still available, but hopefully not.
Put them in my
pocket.
The
lump of coins is probably worth 50 gold.
Yoink.
Ah, look, we've got a lump of silver. That's interesting. And nothing else in this room? Any other doorways anywhere leading out?
No. There's the head itself, which, I'm assuming you've looked at, but no one is going... I'm assuming no one's, like, touching it just yet until someone specifically says that they touch it.
Does anyone want to look at the golem head?
Are there any tools with which I could flip the head over and not touch it?
Well, if a certain crocodile acquired them, you have a set of bone tools.
Yes.
I would have mentioned, the bone tools. I didn't pick it up the first time, but again, I would have been, there's some bone tools as well and some coins. If anyone wanted the bone tools or coins, I would have picked them up. Otherwise, probably not.
Big T, would you have wanted to pick up any of that?
Yes, I think it's good to have things.
All right. Well, I guess you spent some time collecting the 180 gold and the set of bone tools.
Why would you have bone tools? Money can you?
Fair enough.
They're gold. The tools look
money
like
fixes it.
The tools look strange and maybe even a little alien to you. You can. They have like a. I don't know how to. Alien. I suppose. Like as we would conjure the idea, alien design. So they've got all like weird curves and edges to them. They're made out of bone, so of course they look organic. But the tools look like strange organic entities in their own right. But that's just how they're designed to look. You don't think that necessarily affects that? That's not necessarily something of function.
Well, if you want, we can pick up the head with the tools. I mean, we do know now that even a bit of a golem is functional. Yes, we can. Big G? Or we could just leave it alone, I don't know.
Yeah, can I use the tools to like sort of pick it up with tongs and give it a squeeze? Yeah.
Is the purpose here to maybe study it to see what to inflict damage?
Yeah, I want to
see.
You
turn the head over and you can see in the socket there is like a pouch inside the head. It's some sort of sealed, maybe like leather and waxwork pouch.
Huh.
Oh, I want to look at it.
Big T, you're the one doing this, right?
Yeah.
Big T, you could see it like kind of undulating and moving like it was alive.
The head.
No, not the head, the pouch.
There's a yucky thing in here.
Hair.
Scalpel. I hold out my hand for scalpel.
Yeola says scalpel and hands it to you.
I try and slice the thing out and sort of dump it onto the table.
You want to cut out the pouch or you want to cut the pouch?
I want to cut the pouch out.
All right. You attempt to remove the pouch. That would be, I guess. All right, Tree Stump. You could make this a medicine check if you wanted to. Or I would allow straight up dexterity.
Dexterity, I reckon.
Why is that? What's your med? Aren't you good at medicine?
You mangle the pouch trying to get it out. You're not very dexterous. Well, you are quite dexterous, but you're not dexterous enough, I guess. You mangle the pouch, cut it open. A red goopy substance pours out of the helmet.
Oh, I found the organic matter.
Yeah, this looks like mulched, mixed up, and almost juiced, just biological matter.
I've heard that in fancy places like Kando, they have a smoothie.
The eyes of the golem go dark. You thought it was just a slightly different metal, but you realize now that they were lit up, they go dark.
Okay, you all saw that, yeah? We now know.
Right. So there's a pouch in the golem that if we were to destroy, it destroys the golem.
We got to open up the pouch, spill all the juice.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. So I guess there's a...
I would say good luck with that, though, Chantel says, and then, like, taps on the helmet to show you that it's quite sturdy.
Well, exactly. You'd have to get really, really small.
I mean, to puncture this pouch, you've basically destroyed the golem anyway.
Well, that's true. Yes, it just has to be one of us could become something small, they could get into a certain crack of a golem, like a rat.
Oh, with its little mouth, it can try and destroy
then
the leather.
Maybe destroy the leather pouch. Look, it's something.
Can I start taking out my weapons and seeing if anything I have would actually pierce the metal?
You try. Well, what are you trying first?
Halberd.
How long are you willing to work at that?
I reckon I say to everyone, hey, let's see what we can use to break it. And I reckon we spend about a minute. Everyone tries their weapons to see if they can stab through because you're going to know pretty certain, pretty quickly.
I would say in a minute you could probably breach the helmet, sure. But it takes a while of several of you hammering away at it. You don't think this is necessarily some discovery you've made. Yeah. You kind of assume that if you beat on the golem for long enough, it would break.
There's nothing in our sort of inventory that seems to be easier than the others. So like in the fights, I'm always using my halberd because it's got magic in it. Mm. So if I have a crack at something else, it just...
Actually, no, sorry. I completely forgot. Your halberd is maybe the only thing that does damage. I completely forgot about that. Chantel's warhammer does not even leave a scratch. Saren using her rapier, no scratch. Yeola doesn't have a weapon. Well, Yeola's magic probably damages it.
Yeah, I guess I do the same thing with like all my cantrips. So the frostbite.
It looks like if it's not magic, it's not going to do damage.
Okay. Does there any particular like does worse? Like again, frost damage, infestation, which is poison damage. Flame or piercing, which is thorn whip. Good work, Big T. Very clever. Clever work.
I just don't have time when we're fighting it to check.
So magic, if it's not magic, it won't hurt it. In addition to that, fire, poison, and psychic don't seem to do anything.
Okay. So I guess we've got like, well, the thorn whip is good and the frostbite. But yeah, well, fire does not damage it. It's interesting. Okay.
If anything, actually, when you hit it with fire, you see it repair.
Oh.
Okay. Never use fire.
Never use fire. That's good.
Never use fire on these. Good. Good to know, actually.
Letting you know as well, sometimes when you cast spells against it, it seems to have a resistance to magic as well. Magic doesn't seem to do as much damage as it should.
Hmm, interesting. So it definitely is getting... Like if I was to say, you know, cast this magic spell on, say, another bit of iron, it would do a lot more damage. But I guess the magical properties of a golem is requiring it to take less. So, okay. Well, they're very, I guess, well protected. Yeah, keep that halberd of yours close by, yes. Big T. Find something else like that. All right, well, once we've finished it here, we'll head out the door and take the control sphere and head down the other corridor.
If Gobble's able to sort of clock this Nog, does it look like there are any spots where a rat or mouse could get in?
Well, this isn't connected to the body. So you can really only look at the head itself.
Oh, yeah. Only the head.
Even like the joint, the bottom part, you can't really tell, obviously, because the body could affect that joint. The head looks like one solid piece of iron with several plates attached upon it.
Look, it'd be very hard to get in here, to be fair.
A rat could get past the plates on the head, but then the head itself is one solid piece of iron, and the rat is not getting past that.
And also climbing up. It will be a bit hard, to be honest.
Looking around the room, can we see anything that... So has this head been cut off of a body, or is it yet to have been put on a body?
There's no damage to the neck, so that's all that you understand.
Okay, and is there anything in this room that looks like it could have been used to open the head up? Are there any equipment...
Any equipment here would have been for an alchemical purpose, not a machinery purpose.
Okay. So it's just the head. There's no actual body of it.
No, there's no body.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll head off if this is a pretty empty room and grab the sphere. Head down there's only one path, yes?
Yeah, there's only one other path. It's just disappears into darkness. Start walking down that pathway. Mm-hmm. And eventually you come, the worked stone gives way eventually to unworked stone. And you are now in kind of just like it doesn't look natural actually. It still does look like it was made with purpose, but this path quite clearly isn't like well worked. It doesn't look like, it doesn't look as fancy as the rest of the place. Even the brass like siding and pipes and stuff like that begin to stop. And then eventually you come to a winch, another elevator of sorts, but this one is not, well, it is mechanical, but it's not, it's just like a winch, not a fancy elevator. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's mechanical in the sense that we have to operate it as opposed to putting a magical sphere.
This one does not look nearly as sturdy as the previous one. There's a lot of wooden elements to this one that have decayed with time.
I can't cast mending on that to make it a bit sturdier.
Mending probably can't fix this. You'd need a stronger spell. It's quite deformed and damaged.
Well, look, we could head down there. And see what we see. Might see something interesting. It looks like this is more either where we're beginning to do more, I guess, expansions.
Yeola casts light upon a rock that she picks up and drops it down the hole. You see as it fades into the darkness.
Yeah. So we could try that, but I feel perhaps it might be suicide, shall we say. I know I can... I don't want to go alone.
One other thing I forgot to mention. Yes. As it turned from worked stone into unworked stone, you notice that there is a cart system. Sorry, I forgot to add that. There's a cart system and lots of, like, ore. It looks like your head... Sorry, I forgot to mention this. This is a mine.
Okay.
Oh, that makes more sense as to why there's a big hole.
Yes. So I guess this is where they were either expanding or they had found a particular...
There's a lot of iron ore here. It looks like this was where they were collecting iron.
So this is where the iron wood kind of came from. That makes sense. Okay. Well, it looks like even further down there, I guess all we'd probably find is, I guess, iron ore, which is, look, not terrible, if we're making golems, and that's about it. I can turn into, say, hate to say this again, but I could probably turn into a spider and crawl down if need be to investigate, but that's about it. If we wanted to kind of use that time to do that, but otherwise,
if you went down there and something happened to you, we would not be able to get to you.
Exactly. Here,
maybe
I think we should head back.
I think it makes sense that there's a mine here. They need iron ore to make the guys.
Exactly. So
it's very interesting that it's a one-stop facility, no imports. All locally manufactured. I think it's nice.
Exactly. Ah, exactly.
Think local, act global.
Yeah, supporting local business.
Think local, global domination.
Yes.
That's it. That's what these dwarves were about.
I just tentatively put my a foot on one on the elevator to see if how sturdy it is.
How much weight are you putting on that foot?
Enough that if it does give way, I'm not going to fall on my ass.
So we would say not more than 50%, roughly, of your weight.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It creaks ominously.
Mm. Yes. Oh, look,
I'm bigger than you, so I do less than my 50% of weight.
Yeah. You probably nearly put your foot through it.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad we're not doing this. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Imagine if we all tried to get on them, we'd all be dead. That'd be so embarrassing. No one would know where the cubes were. Spheres. Yes,
to be honest, big T, I think if you just got on it, you'd might just fall through.
Yeah, don't want to. Let's go back.
Yes, we head on back.
You go back the way you came. Yep. As you go back up that elevator, you can see, you see them above you. They're standing where the elevator is going to finish. You look into the faces of Herdek and Tavertine, along with a couple of other people. There's four of them total. So Herdek, Tavertine, and two other people. The other two people, you don't remember their names, but you recognize them from Greyhill. They're fellow Greyhill adventurers like yourselves.
Oh, what are their stances like?
Tavertine he wields a short sword typically in combat. He has the short sword drawn, and her deck has her light hammer and shield at the ready. They're standing in a kind of a combative stance.
Hello.
How far until we hit it, them?
Maybe mere moments. You have basically a round to act.
Right, and they look like they're going to attack.
They look like they're about to attack you.
Okay, are any of them wearing armor, a metal armor?
Herdek wears metal armor,
and we're 60 foot at least from
much
there?
Less. Yeah,
much less. Cool. I cast heat metal on her armor.
No, I was saying hello. Well, it probably happens at the same time, which is very funny. Hello, right. No.
Herdek takes 2d8 damage. Herdek takes 10 points of fire damage. She screams in her armor.
What's happening?
Tavertine. All right, let's go to initiative.
we could try to talk the way out of this, but I don't. Do they look cognizant as well? I mean, we can't really see from here. I mean, we already have a card and stuff. But do they look cognizant?
Tavertine has the same expression he always has. Herdek looks in pain.
Yes. I mean, I guess just before that, do they look like they were here under their own volition?
Well, that would be that would have been your first action then, instead of casting a spell.
No, right. No. I'm offensive right now. I'm too
fighting first.
Scared.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, who would each of you like to act with? You've got you've got Herdek, you've got Tavertine, you've got Tree Stump. You've got Chantel, you've got Sarin, you've got Yeola and Ziamia.
I'll probably just I'll keep going with Yeola.
I'll go with Sarin.
Well, Glubbel, you cast heat metal, dealing 10 points of damage to Herdek.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would you like Yeola to do?
Oh yeah, she'll cast Bless on, say, can that be herself as well?
Yeah.
Cool. I guess herself, me, and probably Saren, I guess?
Then it is Tavertine's turn. Tavertine, with his sword drawn, leaps down to get in amongst you before the elevator has completely arrived. He lands next to you, Glubble, and then he attacks. That's a critical hit.
Why does this keep happening?
Double damage, hack and slash. Just your basic old double boy. He deals 14 points of damage. And then he uses his bonus action to attack again. He hits a second time and deals another 9 points of damage.
Perfect.
He uses a key point to attack again. He is a whirling ball of blades and strikes. Instead of attacking a second time, the first time he hits you is with his sword. The second time he hits you is with his claws. And as his claws rake through you, you feel sick. You feel sickened and weakened. You take an extra 6 points of necrotic damage.
Great, I'm on one hit point. That fucking rules.
Well, hey, it could have been worse, I guess.
Just how worse? Find out next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Elwood, and I love David Attenborough.
I was absolutely inspired by David as a kid.
I'm definitely not alone in this.
The world of science is full of Attenborough groupies.
I've got a confession about David Attenborough documentaries.
Every week, I'll be sitting with a science expert while we watch an episode of Life on Earth.
Scientists want to talk about stuff. We are damaged.
You do sound like comedians. We'll be talking about what we're seeing on the screen.
Plants have basically talked other organisms into being flying genitals for them.
Their experience in the field.
I've seen a male cane toad on a rotten mango. They'll just go for it.
And whatever other topics spin out of our conversations.
Do you know I got attacked by an octopus one time?
You don't want to start going away from comedy and into depressing, but...
No, that's my wheelhouse.
Thank God for David Attenborough with Ben Elwood. Now available on SansPants Radio.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to SansPants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.